Every day at this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans.
Stung by having suffered heavy losses when a large reconnaissance force was badly mauled in Rajek Pass, SS Major Scheer is determined to overwhelm his enemy's rearguard by sheer weight of numbers. But before giving final orders for this assault, he sends for the Yugoslav spy, Kozat, from whom he needs information.
You will appreciate that before I could put any real trust in you, I had to verify your credentials. This I did by radio while Mayor Dieter was here with his Panzer Group.
You trust me now, Major?
Yeah, and I must apologize for the treatment you received. It was regrettable.
And this fine meal you have given me, is it to make up for my confinement?
In a small way.
Am I free to go home?
There is a service I need from you first. As one of the few people familiar with Rajek Pass, you can be of great value to us.
In what way?
The British and their followers have gone deep into the pass, leaving behind a strong rear guard. In the early hours of the morning, I am sending a large force in to dislodge and overwhelm them.
In the close confines of the pass, it will be the quality of your men that counts rather than their numbers.
We are Waffen SS, may I remind you. The best trained soldiers in existence.
Your enemy is desperate. I would rate them higher.
As you wish, Cosette. I will tell. What I need to know is if it is possible for my men to move safely and without detection along the slopes.
Only with great difficulty.
Their progress would be slow.
Very slow, Major. On very high ground above the pass are narrow tracks made by the peasants who lived there many years ago. They are overgrown and difficult to identify.
How high are they?
300 to 400 meters.
Good. We will make use of them.
There is a problem, Major. Once you have climbed to these tracks, there is no way down until you reach the far western end of the pass.
Why?
The tracks are high and they go higher and higher. The side of the pass are steep, sheer cliffs.
I see. How far is it to the western end of the pass?
13 kilometers. But there is another problem. If your enemy is watchful, they will detect a large number of men passing.
How?
Sound, Major. Because the sides of the pass are so narrow and steep, the smallest sound reaches a long distance. Even a whisper can be heard from below.
If the men travel slowly and carefully,
then the British will reach the far end of the pass before they do.
Well, I can't allow that to happen. Have another cognac here, Kozat.
Captain Saunders and Sergeant Ryan have moved their men down the pass and almost within sight of the entrance. Using every boulder, withered shrub, and crevice, the men deployed themselves to ambush the force they expected to be sent against them. Then they settled down to wait.
By heavens, you can just about hear them.
You must have good ears, Sergeant.
I got big ones.
Do you really think they'll risk another attack like the last?
Yes, they will. Look at it from their point of view. If they hang around and wait, Colonel Horton and the rest will reach the end of the pass and start climbing out. The Jerrys can't afford that to happen if they're going to stop us, can they?
Oh.
And it's going to be a damn sight more difficult trying to get at us in broad daylight. It's tonight or never.
Well, I hope Lieutenant Sale's girlfriend was right.
About what?
Well, she told them there was no way up to the top of those slopes. If she's wrong and the Germans find a way, we're in a sticky position.
Some of the lads went up to try and find a way this morning. They had to give up. Only a trained mountaineer could get up there.
Yeah, but it makes me feel uneasy. I reckon it was wrong to let that Yugoslav fellow, what was his name again? Kozak,
that's his name, yes.
Go over to the Germans. I mean, he knows this pass maybe even, well, even better than Violetta does. After all, you gotta remember, she was only a kid when she lived here.
Why didn't she go off with the rest of the women? Because she wanted to stay with the lieutenant?
Well, yeah, but what do you mean by the rest of the women?
You know, them women from Kovac's partisan group.
Yeah, but they're still with the colonel.
No, they're not.
What?
Didn't you know? Last night they left to join their menfolk. From what I heard, they were too scared to go into the pass.
Well, I guess you can't blame them. Ryan, how long do you think we should wait here?
Well, it gets light at about 6:30. If the Jerrys don't make a move, I think we should pull back to the barricade about 6:00.
Yeah, well, that's a long time yet. It's getting pretty cold, isn't it?
There's no harm in you walking about, sir. Just don't stray beyond them boulders. Those boulders over there.
What do you think, Vesa?
I think your original plan was best, sir. A frontal attack on the British is before daylight, and sending a small party ahead to the pass over the pass.
Yeah, but I would have liked to send a large force ahead to outflank and sandwich them in the pass.
If it succeeded, it would force a quicker surrender from them, Herr Major, if that is your intention.
Yeah. Yeah, I see your point, Reza. Herr Kozat, a group of, say, 4 men could easily get past the Britishers?
With care, yes.
All right. Let me tell you my plan. Herr Kozat, I would like you to guide 3 of my men to the path that leads out of the pass. The idea is for them to use explosive to render it impassable. Is it possible?
Yes, very easily, Major.
And what does this path look like?
One has to climb up from the end of the pass to the old grazing fields. There are a number of ancient abandoned cottages at about 600 meters... where the slopes of the pass level out. 1 kilometer to the west, there rises the peak of the mountain. The old goat track is overgrown, but I know it. We will have to climb to 100 meters up the mountain, and then there is what looks like a cave. But it is really a narrow passage leading to a wide ledge. After 1 kilometer, the ledge narrows to no more than 1 meter in width. Then it widens out into a ravine. This has to be crossed by using ropes. At first sight, it seems impossible, but there is a way.
Enough, Herr Kozat. This passage you mentioned, if it were blown up, what then?
The way to the west will be completely blocked.
Good. Then that will be your assignment, Herr Kozat. How long will it take you to reach this place?
2 days.
Well, the sooner you leave, the better, then. Lieutenant Weser.
Yeah?
Sergeant Fritsch can choose 2 men to go with him. I think he's the ideal man for the job.
I agree, Herr Major.
As for our attack on the British rear guard, we can proceed as we planned earlier. Bring Fritsch here to me, and then see if our assault groups are ready to leave.
Yeah, Herr Major.
Another glass of cognac before you leave, Herr Kozat.
Thank you, yes. You want me to leave right away?
Yeah, I think it would be best. But first, let my assault groups clear the enemy rear guard from the pass. How far in do you need to go before you can begin to climb up the slopes?
There is no need to enter the pass at all. It can be climbed from 0.5 kilometer down this valley to a path which leads to the upper slopes of the pass.
Good. So there will be no need for you to wait, then.
I am ready to leave as soon as your men are ready, Major. But tell me, when the way has been blocked, will your men permit me to go home?
I will give Sergeant Fritsch orders to that effect, yeah.
Yeah, it is all clear, Herr Major.
Do not let this Yugoslav guard leave you until he has brought you back. And one more thing. Don't allow him out of your sight, eh? You must know from your own experience how treacherous these Yugoslavs can be.
I will see that he is closely guarded.
Don't misunderstand me, Fritz. He must not know he is under surveillance, huh? He must think we trust him. Who have you chosen to go with you?
Weber and Lang, Herr Mayor.
I don't know them.
Two very good men. Experts at demolition.
Speed is important, Fritz. That passage must be destroyed before the British reach it, so you must not allow anything to delay you. Because that says it will take you 2 days to reach. But that is at the Yugoslav pace. I want you to force march and reach it in less than 36 hours.
I won't permit a break until the demolition is completed, Herr Major.
Good. A lot depends on your success, you know. Are you ready to leave now?
Yeah, Herr Major. Lang is packing our equipment, and Weber is with the prisoner, with the Yugoslav.
Fritz, don't even think of him as being a prisoner, huh? He might sense it, you know. Because that is an ally. Please try to remember that.
It was a little after 2 a.m. when an Australian private, who had been scouting 100 yards ahead of the ambush position, reported to Sergeant Ryan that there was the sound of activity ahead. Safety catches clicked off the waiting men's weapons, and Corporal Brinkley's finger was poised on the trigger of a flare pistol.
Could he see how many?
Only that there seemed to be a lot.
Shades of what went before. There were a lot last time.
Well, this is a big lot. He said they were making no attempt to keep quiet, so that means there must be 100 or so.
100? That many? Oh, hell, Ryan, and we're 50.
Well, don't worry. 50 men can hold off an army over a 50-foot-wide stretch like this, no problem at all. And the lads up the slopes will have a bloody field day. Don't forget, Captain, we got all the cover. They don't got none.
Yeah, I guess you're right there.
Hey, listen, I can hear him coming.
What?
Are you ready with that flare, Brinkley?
Yes, Sarge.
Let him get a bit closer. They think they're a long way back from here, so we'll... They'll just come marching on till we hit them.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. Came from down there at the entrance to the pass.
Wait a minute. The tanks, maybe?
No. Maybe more shells whistling over.
No, of course not. I understand. Those explosions are coming from the German camp.
All right, but never mind it, sir. We're going to make our own bangs in a tick.
Yeah.
All right, Brinkley. Let's have the daylight.
As the flare burst into a dazzling bright light, the defenders saw a packed mass of German SS troopers wedged between the walls of the pass. Rifle and machine gun fire rained on them from above and to their front. The surprise was complete. The SS officers shouted their orders, and men tried to scramble up the steep slopes where they could take cover and return the British fire. But as Sergeant Ryan put it later, it was like opening up on the New Year crowd in Trafalgar Square. After the initial shock had passed, a large group tried to charge the men defending the floor of the pass. They were cut down in swathes, men clambering over the bodies of their comrades, only to add their own to the growing mound. But still they came on.
May the saints preserve us. There's a damn sight more than I expected.
Yeah, you can say that again, Ryan.
We can fox them by pulling back to the abandoned tank and then later to the barricade. The lads will know what to do.
Yeah.
McKinley, take 10 men back to the tank.
Righto, sir.
Well, that takes care of that. But, Ryan, what about the guys up the slopes?
Ah, they're all right. Jerry won't be able to get them.
Oh, heaven forbid. Ryan, they've got flamethrowers.
Hurry, McKinley, before we get roasted.
Oh, no. He's down. The guy with the flamethrower got hit.
That's a bloody good job, too. Look, you better get back as well, sir. I'm pulling all the lads back in a tick.
Do you want another flare, sir?
Don't like hell, Brinkley. Get us out back to the tank and wait. You better go with him, sir.
Okay, if you think it's best, but Lion, whatever you do, don't be long.
Don't worry about that, sir. It's all worked out.
In the face of the endless stream of oncoming SS troopers, several armed with deadly flamethrowers, Sergeant Ryan pulled back his men in an orderly retreat, running back a few yards to the next boulder, firing a few bursts, and then back a few more yards to the next cover. The 20 snipers up the slopes kept up a murderous fire and had the sense to concentrate on the flashes given out by the flamethrowers. It took 30 minutes for him to reach the abandoned tank, where McKinley's men were rested and ready. The Germans were still 500 yards back down the pass.
Hold your fire! You there, Brian, this is not a bloody circus! Brinkley, where are you?
Over here, Sarge.
Get ready with the daylight, will you? Hey, McKinley, can you see them yet?
No, sir, not yet.
Oh, you know what they'll be doing, don't you? They'll be regrouping.
Yes, we got a big problem, though. Ammo. It's getting pretty low.
Oh, no.
Two more minutes like that, and we'll be down to using rifles. I'm sorry now we smashed up the tank's innards.
Yeah.
We could make use of its machine guns.
Wait a minute, Ryan. Is there no more ammo at the barricade?
Only for the rifles and a few grenades.
Well, hadn't we better pull back there now?
No, sir. I don't think so. We can hold out nicely here for a while.
Yeah, but the barricade...
Excuse me, sir. But can you imagine what them flamethrowers are going to do to the barricade? We made it up from the abandoned carts. They make a lovely fire.
Oh, hell yeah. Damn it, I never thought.
Flamethrowers, they're a dirty weapon. I wish we had a few.
I just don't know. I can't understand it. I mean, the Germans can't have just melted away, Ryan.
McKinley, send the man up the path to recce, will you?
Get on with it, Harrison. You will, Brother Sergeant said.
This is really starting to give me the creeps.
Yes, and me too.
You don't suppose the Germans have possibly gotten up the sides of the slopes and, well, maybe outflanked us, Ryan? That'll be the last straw. The last thing we need is a horde of stormtroopers coming up behind us.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they've done that. The old lads up the slopes would have kept harrying them.
Yeah.
You'd have heard them.
Well, I don't know. If they're regrouping, they're taking one hell of a time. I wish I could see a little better. Oh, gee, it's nearly 3 already.
Sarge?
Yes, what is it? Who's that?
It's Bates, Sarge. I think I got some more bad news. Because unless I'm very much mistaken, there's somebody coming up behind us.
What?
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, Sarge. I heard him with my own ears.
McKinley, you cover me while I take a good look.
Look, hang on, Ryan. I'm coming with you.
They're coming and moving among the rocks just down there.
Oh. Come on, quick.
Okay. Wait a minute. He's right. I heard...
Who goes there?
Oh, that is where you're hiding.
Oh, no.
Oh,
it's Dimitri.
Gosh, you nearly stopped me, Hart, you did. Oh, well, I hope he's brought all his bloody Russian pals with him.
Is that Captain Saunders?
It's me, all right, Dimitri. And Sergeant Ryan.
And you're a right welcome sight to see. Not that we can see very much.
Okay, Dimitri. What brings you here?
Colonel Horton. He sent us back to help.
Oh, thank heavens.
He was sent to tell him we were under attack.
Well, you've come right in the thick of it, Dimitri.
Huh? It's very quiet. I was told it was an emergency. I don't see any fighting yet.
Well, it's all over for the time being. I tell you, we've been giving the SS a real great whacking.
Yeah, but no matter how big the whacking, we're expecting a fresh attack at any time. Sergeant Ryan has sent a man down the pass to see what the delay is. Now, come on, Dimitri. Did you bring all your men?
Of course. I brought all 25. And I am disappointed.
What do you mean, disappointed?
Because
Why?
You had the first open battle with them. Still, I suppose half a battle is better than none at all.
Yeah, but Dimitri, we got a big problem. We're getting low on ammunition.
But we have plenty for our own weapons.
Oh, thank heavens for that. Well,
bring your own men in and join us at the tank, then.
You have a tank?
Yeah, we have a tank. The Germans sent a Tiger into the pass, and, of course, it got stuck. Then it hit a mine when it tried to turn. Come on, Dmitri. You might as well come and take a look at it.
All right.
Harrison's back, Sarge. Says there's not a jury anywhere as far as he can see in here.
Hey, did you hear that? Isn't that peculiar? Did you hear him, Captain Saunders?
Yeah.
The jury's... they've pulled back.
Damn strange. I wonder why.
There were two good reasons for the German withdrawal. The losses they had experienced were horrendously high, and a messenger had arrived to tell the field commanders that the camp was under mortar attack. In a state of utter confusion, the SS officers ordered their men back, carrying with them their wounded. The mortar bombardment had ceased soon after Major Scheer ordered his men up into the hills. The attackers had melted away as mysteriously as they had appeared, and their pursuers found nothing more than footmarks on the rocky hilltops. The attack had been organized by Kovacs, the partisan leader. The woman who had returned from the fugitives' column had told him about the imminent arrival of a panzer group, which he considered to be a prime target. But as he and his men looked down, the panzers had already left. Instead, they found the Germans massed about the entrance to Rajek Pass, taking little regard of what was in their rear. Kovacs placed 20 mortars on the hilltops and then attacked. Although it lasted for less than 15 minutes, it caused considerable damage to men and equipment. Believing the mortar to be the preliminary to a major assault, Major Scheer ordered his men out of the pass to repel it, having no idea at the time how badly they, too, had been mauled.
Partisans. They hit and ran like cowards.
They had plenty of time to escape, Herr Major.
I thought we'd left the partisans far behind. Now, who is in charge of our rear guard patrols?
Leutnant Gerber, Herr Major. But his men patrolled those hilltops at midnight and saw nothing.
I have a good mind to charge the man with negligence. You'll be sure those damned Yugoslav terrorists were watching his patrol every single step of the way.
Yeah, Herr Major. Do you want to see him?
There's nothing to be gained from talking to an idiot. What was the damage?
33 men killed and 4 half-tracks destroyed.
Oh, you know, it's criminal. If I can just lay my hands on just one of them, I'll hang him on the spot.
Far worse happened in the past, Herr Major.
Yeah. Don't remind me, Reza. How can a disaster like that overtake us?
We were outguessed, Herr Major. The British has moved down the pass to less than 500 meters from the entrance. They found good cover and waited.
But 1,000 men, Reza. 1,000 SS troopers thrown back by a handful of ex-prisoners of war. It is unbelievable.
Leutnant Gräßler thinks they would have succeeded had they not been called back.
Yeah. So he's suggesting it is my fault.
Nein, Herr Major. He says that the Englanders were retreating when the message came.
We have lost nearly 300 men tonight, Reza. How can we explain that to General Volder?
You won't have to, Herr Major. Now that Data has left with his tigers, there is no way of communicating with HQ.
Yeah, I suppose that is one consolation.
And if we push every man into the pass tomorrow and overrun the enemy rear guard, we will have turned defeat into a triumph.
Yeah, but at what cost? No, Reza, I have a better idea. Let Kozak do his work in blocking that pass.
Major?
And when the enemy are really trapped, that will be the time to make them sorry for tonight's work.
The Veil of Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dottman, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier,
dramatized for broadcasting and brought to you on Springbok Radio.